Are you an entrepreneur looking for more free time, more money, or just looking for that success blueprint? The Proven Entrepreneur is the podcast for you. Host Don Williams and his guests share real success stories from proven entrepreneurs. Here's your host, Don Williams.
Hey, it's Don Williams with today's episode of The Proven Entrepreneur. I am so happy, so thrilled, so excited to introduce my very good friend and someone who has been very instrumental in my entrepreneurial journey. Please meet Allison Maslin. Hi, Allie.
Hi, Don.
How are you?
I'm excited about this. I was looking forward to it all week.
Me too. So I think we met... I don't know. It's always hard to talk to a lady about time, but it, like 5 years ago, maybe six, something like that.
Yeah.
And then our paths have been on the set. We've walked the same path for a while, and then our paths crisscrossed from time to time. And so rather than me introduce you, okay, Allie, tell us, what are you working on now? What's your primary company and what do you spend your time and your energy and your passion on?
Thanks, Don. I have been running my 10th company now for the past 11 years. It's called Pinnacle Global Network, and we mentor business owners around the world to grow and scale their companies, primarily 7- and 8-figure business owners. And we take a really holistic perspective where we look at all aspects of their business, from the revenue streams, marketing, sales, team, leadership, and so forth. I am truly, truly passionate about it, especially now. And as you know, because you're very much entrenched in this as well, that business owners are the change makers in the world. They are the inventors, and they're the ones that are solving some of the biggest challenges we have in the world today. So that's my dent in the universe, is to help them soar. I've been a business owner for almost 40 years. So this has just been my life's path, and I really feel blessed.
And so just so you know, that means Allie started out at about age 7 and has been an entrepreneur for 40 years.
Yeah, it was that lemonade stand. That was business number one.
Yeah. And so that's actually my next question is, so I know a little bit about your childhood. So you live in San Diego today. Your business is based there, though you have clients all over the US and maybe even the world now. But where did you start out? You didn't start out in San Diego.
I did not. I started out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And in fact, we used to come to Texas a lot. That was like our big city. So very familiar with your part of the world. So I grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma. My father and my grandfather actually had a women's clothing store in Kansas City. And then he and my dad ended up expanding it to Tulsa and then across the Midwest. When, you know, in my childhood, I grew up just kind of following him from store to store. And he was so passionate about his work that really infused into me. And I think about it a lot, because just little things I do, I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely my daddy's girl. So that's, you know, and then I went to school at Arizona State, studied journalism, and always loved San Diego. So fell in love with this place. I've been here since 1989, and it's definitely my home.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful place. So actually, you come from entrepreneurial roots, not only your father, but your grandfather. And so as a young girl in Tulsa, Oklahoma, talk about a work ethic that your father and mother may have instilled in you as a young girl.
Yeah, I think that was really everything for me. You know, my dad was, we had an interesting language together because we both loved the business world. So he would call me up and go, so instead of, hi, honey, how you doing? It'd be, hey, honey, how many sales did you close today? That was like what I grew up with, that type of mentality. So it was always business for him. But he was very relationship oriented. Everywhere we went, he knew people, and he just respected everyone from the janitor and the taxi driver to the heads of state. And so I just learned so much from him about following your passion, being dedicated, being committed. There was really no separation for him of, you know, personal life, business life. I work a little harder on that than he did, but I definitely never heard him complain once. I mean, he really found it a blessing to be a business owner. And he never told me, Allison, this is what you need to do. You know, he just always encouraged me, always. And he did say to me when I was younger, if you want something, go create it yourself. And I will never, ever forget that. He also said, you know, if you don't know how to do it, just say yes and then figure it out. So, you know, he had that muscle. And, you know, I did, you know, I kind of flew by the seat of my pants a lot in the early days. We did finally figure it out. And my mom was and is still today. She is like my biggest fan. You will see her on social media. It's hilarious. If I'm posting about events, she'll comment, sign up for Allie's event because it will change your life, or she's so smart, you know? So she's still that way for me today.
Yeah. Where would we be without our mothers?
Oh my God.
And so what about your first, so like back when I was a kid, you know, I'd say my first job was mowing the yard, except there was no pay. It was my responsibility to mow the yard. And so I wouldn't say that was my first job, but my first job, paying job, I was driving a tractor in a wheat field at wheat harvest. I think I was 11, and I made a lot more money than my friends made, but I also worked like a heathen. And so what was your first paying job as young Allie?
Yeah, so I worked for my dad in every type of role you could imagine. So I was in the back, and they had a big warehouse. So when it was a women's clothing chain, so when the clothes would come in the boxes, we would open up from the boxes, we would hang them up. I worked in the stores. I was a buyer for him. I traveled to New York. So I really, you know, he just gave me that. I was blessed to have that experience. And here's the thing, I'll be totally honest with you, Don. I mean, I was a waitress. I did all of that. I worked in a pizza restaurant when I was 14. I think I was underage. They were paying us under the table. I don't know if they get away with that now, but I could not hold a job. Like I don't know if I was just a total brat or I just wasn't very good at it, but I became unemployable. And for a time there, I was a bit depressed because it just, none of it made me happy. Like I just would stare at the clock for hours. I'd do my thing, but it was like, get me out of here. It was terrible, you know? And it really just came down to when I was 19, I started my own business. And I didn't intend to, but it was, that really came more naturally, to be the creator, to be the one that came up with the ideas, to do things that I was really passionate about. And I've really followed that throughout my life. And thank goodness, because I would have been in big trouble.
Yeah, understood. And I think that's a common trait in entrepreneurs, good visionaries, good business owners, bad employees. I know in my own path, I may have a little aversion to authority, you know, people telling me what to do. I may have a little problem with that. And that's pretty common. So what was that first business at age 19?
Yeah. So I started, it was evolved into a full-fledged business. In the beginning, it was writing poems for birthdays and anniversaries and different occasions when I was in school. And I did calligraphy and I sold them for about $25. I would interview the person and then find out all kinds of cool stuff about them and customize these poems. And I was just over the moon. I was like, people are paying for this. This is so cool, you know? And I told my dad, I found my calling. I'm going to be a poet. And And the funny thing is that my professor at Arizona State was Rita Dove, and she was the poet laureate at the time. And so it was, you know, she was really inspired me. So I was like, this is it. And I found a way to monetize it. And he's like, oh, Allie, that's so awesome. But didn't you know that most poets don't become known until they're dead? You know, I mean, it's my dad telling me this. Such a buzzkill dad, you know.
So, well, he gave you a little encouragement. That's great.
Yeah, that's
great. Did you know?
But, yeah, I know. Well, he was pretty straightforward. So anyway, so I ended up doing the poems throughout college, moved to Atlanta. I was still trying to do the poems there. And then I kind of found out that it was really falling flat. I just was not getting the demand that I was hoping for. But I did meet this woman at a party, and she said, you know, I work for this company and we need some thank you cards. Do you do those? And I heard my dad's voice in my head going, just say yes. Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, I do those all the time. Well, it ended up being MCI. Remember MCI? They were like the Dial One. You know, they were huge at the time.
They were number two behind AT&T.
They were national. So I go in there. I get this order for 10,000 cards, okay, for $10,000. I had been charging $25. I walked out of there so excited. And then I went, oh, my God, I don't even know how to do this. So I went to some quick print place down the street. I'll never forget this. This guy, you know, and I was, I don't know, 21 at the time. And you didn't see young entrepreneurs back then like you do now, which I love that we're seeing so many young entrepreneurs, but you just didn't see that very often back then. And he just looked at me and goes, hey, how did you get this order? You know, and thank goodness. And he really helped me through the whole thing. But then what I did was I called all of the other regional locations across the country, and I got orders all over the country. And that just, you know, it started into brochures and radio and television. And I had a full service ad agency by the time I was 25.
That's awesome. And you made a point there that I want to be sure we emphasize. I got on the phone and I called the other regional offices, and I got them too. And so she's giggling a little bit because maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I did a talk for Allie at her group, Allison, and it was, the title was "Pick Up the Darn Phone."
Yeah.
And so many entrepreneurs, you know, have unhealthy fear about what might happen if they cold call someone and they get hung up on, but it's a pretty foolproof, pretty easy way to get business. Just call and ask for it.
You know, it's wild because people's inbox or email is just, they're drowning in email, but they're getting maybe 2-3 calls a day. If that, maybe not.
Yeah.
So maybe not even that. So you, a lot less competition.
So
yeah, I'm a big believer in the phone for sure.
So handmade, custom, bespoke greeting cards to full service ad agency. And then what next?
Yeah. So the ad agency grew quickly. And again, I didn't know how to do all of those things, but I did ask for help early on, and I had no ego issues at all. I was, you know, please help me. I would hang out. They would do press checks at 3 a.m. I would learn about printing. I would hang out at the radio station. Please tell me everything I need to know about radio, about the business. Same thing with television. And I just began to evolve, and we took on clients like Ben & Jerry's was a client, Charlotte Russe. We helped them grow from 15 to 50 stores. And then, of course, they went on to have hundreds of stores before they sold. And Supercuts, Merrill Lynch. Funny story about Merrill Lynch is this is when I was still kind of in the greeting card phase. And again, 21 years old. I'm at a mall and I'm trying to get clients. And I was so nervous. I was very shy, very, very shy. And I was literally, if you saw me, I was talking to myself outside of their place. I looked like I had, you know, I had had issues, right? Anyway, I talked myself to go in and I had my Polaroid camera. And I walked in and I said, I'm doing greeting cards for Christmas. And I would be happy to take pictures of the agents and we will do some caricatures, like cartoon drawings. I had this artist I was working with, and so that you can send them to your clients for Christmas. And so there was one gentleman there that just, he became a fan, and he invited me to present at their sales meeting. Now, again, I've never done any speaking. I had no training. And, you know, I wish I had a video of that today. But I got several orders. And then, you know, then it was thank you cards. And they were like, ah, Allison's back. Let's do more cards, you know. So it became like this. Anyway, they became a great client of mine. And the business grew really quickly. And like I said, I was great at helping the clients. I was super creative. The thing is, Dawn, I did not know how to scale a business. I didn't know how to delegate. I was a control freak. I thought I had to do everything. My client, I was so afraid of losing a client. You know, a lot of business owners go through what I'm sharing with now. Of course, I didn't know at the time. And my daughter was under 2 years old then. And I was a mess. I was like successful and an absolute mess at the same time internally, you know?
Yeah.
And so
I'm laughing with you, not at you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you kind of know how the story goes, but sure. I ended up totally crashing and burning. You know, I was really unhappy. I just didn't have a life. Like, this thing just took off. It had a life of its own. And I ended up, you know, I ended up having a terrible car accident just because I was, you know, exhausted and not fully present, trying to be a mom, trying to run this company that was taking over my life. And so, you know, from that experience, that was a massive wake up call for me, because at that point I was, you know, about 30 years old, and I was looking at my life going, if I don't change now, nothing's going to change. And so I took a year off, and I really examined, you know, what was I doing right and what was I doing wrong? And I really just had to kind of nurse myself back to health. And I began to study the companies that I had worked with to understand how they scaled, how they built their systems and processes, you know, how they built their vision and how they created consistent cash flow, how they built a team managed company, you know? And so that's really where everything started to change for me. I loved business, but not the way that I was operating. And so I ended up from there, built 9 more companies, you know, one of which I'm running now in a very different way than I did in the early days. But I'm grateful for that time. I'm grateful that I survived that car accident. But that, I learned so much, you know, through the experience. It's really made me who I am today. And I teach that formula, as you know, and continue to do for, you know, thousands of entrepreneurs.
Yeah. And it's very common that, you know, some of our best lessons we learn in the hardest fashion. And it just takes that hardness to make that happen. So tell me this. So tell me about a time in your business career when things were going really well, but then it's just like you found a new gear. It's like, you know, it was just a warp speed moment and things were good, but then all of a sudden things were great. And what you attribute that to?
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, even in this last year with COVID, you know, I wrote my first book back in 2009 called Blast Off. And that was really helping businesses, helping people start businesses. That's what I was doing originally. And then as I got further into the coaching world, I really found that my gifts were working with more established business owners. And because I had so much business experience that I could really get down into the, you know, the nitty gritty with them. And so I finally put that system, which I call the Scale It method, into my book, Scale or Fail, which came out in 2018. You were there at
the time. Yeah, I was.
Yeah. And so that was really pivotal. You know, we've been running Pinnacle Global Network for 11 years, but when that book came out, what I talked about in my book, you know, the story I just shared, so many business owners live like that, where their business is running them instead of them running their business. They feel, you know, suffocated and they don't know how to make the shift and they want to so badly. They think, if I just work harder. And so having this book, so many people have read it and just went, oh my God, you're speaking to me. I just didn't know how to get over that wall. And so, you know, since the book came out, of course, then the business has gone to a whole other level. We've continued to evolve the Scale It method. And through COVID, it just helped so many business owners not only survive everything that's going on, but many of them having record months, you know, a record year. And if they didn't, you know, if they hadn't had that to keep their eye on the ball and they were sucked into, you know, a lot of negativity that floats around, they would have, you know, many of them, their doors would have been shut. So I just feel really grateful to be able to share this work. And it's just, like you said, we were already on a trajectory that was going well, but this is like, you know, adding a lot of fuel to the fire.
Afterburners. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I have a client that's in the restaurant business, which restaurants, hotels, hospitality, a lot of that has been devastated.
Yes.
But I saw him in December and I was like, so how's it going? He's like, sales are up 15% over last year. And I was like, hey, it's a pandemic if you didn't notice. And I think you're supposed to say, oh, it's horrible and we're going out of business. He's like, I didn't want to do that. And so we didn't. And I was like, that. I was like, that's probably the place to start is just decide. I don't think I'm going to participate in that going out of business stuff and we'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. And so
a lot of ways to make money.
Oh yeah.
A lot of ways to get creative. And what I'm seeing, and I'm sure you are too, with the pivots that were forced to happen, you know, if you decided that you still wanted to be here like your friend,
yeah,
it just forced people to look at their business and opportunities in a new way. And those people that leaned in and realized that, wow, I can really capitalize on these new demands right now. While others are pulling back, they're leaning in. And that's where great wealth is made, even through challenging times.
Because wealth will be made even during the challenging times, maybe sometimes more so.
More so for sure.
During those challenging times. Yeah. So, okay, thank you for sharing that. Let's go to the other end of the extreme. So sometime in your business career, that at the time was a brutally hard moment, but that in retrospect might have been the very best thing to happen to you, but at the time sure hurt.
Yeah. Well, there's been many of those times. I mean, you know, you're
me too. Me
for
too.
Almost 40 years, there's been just crazy things that happen. You know, I lead big events and we have one coming up here in about 3 weeks. And if anyone has led events at any level knows that, you know, what hits the fan always in one way or another. I've been on stage. I don't remember if you were at that event, but I literally was on stage with the opening of the event, hundreds of people in the audience, and the whole stage started falling down. I don't know if you...
I was not there for that.
You missed it. You missed it. It was actually one of my grander moments, I will say, because I was, had been practicing my intro, and I'm up there and I'm delivering, and see out of the corner of my eye, something starting to fall, like the whole like backdrop. And I see everyone going like this. You know, like just watching this thing unfold. And I looked straight ahead, and because our AV team was across the way, and it's, you know, Barry and Blue. And I see Blue, her husband, they're our event team. I see his mouth going, excuse me, but, yeah. I'm like, and so I just, I don't know what happened, but I stood up in my leadership and I said, okay, everybody, eyes right here. When stuff is falling down around you, you got to keep your eye on the prize. I don't know where the heck that came from.
That was good.
I don't know where that came from, but it really actually worked in my favor. So anyway, we came out of that, but I don't know. There's just been so many. I think, you know, my husband and I worked together in the business. He had his own business for 30 years, and he went through a few years back, just one of those periods in his life where he's like, is this all there is? You know, he'd been doing it for so long. I think you know what I'm talking about. And he just didn't have the passion for it anymore. He ran a wholesale office furniture company, and he worked with big companies, and he did very, very well. Just, he saw me so lit up about what I was doing. He wasn't feeling that. And again, he's just been doing it for so long. And so there was a period there where I was kind of seeing him go through that, and it was really tough. But, you know, he definitely did some work on himself and came through the other side. And the realization was for both of us, why don't we join forces? Because he's brilliant in business, and our company had grown pretty big. So it was like for me to have someone right by my side that, you know, I fully trusted, that we, you know, we really look at things the same way. And so we merged 2 years ago. And if any of you that are listening work with your significant other in your business, there was about 6 months that we had to really work through some of the new challenges around that. I mean, now we're really sailing through, and we just have a ton of fun. But it was hard for me in the beginning, because even though I was thrilled to have him, it was hard for, he'd been running his own show. He wasn't used to his wife going, so, you know, when's this going to be done? When's this going to be done? And, you know, one day he's like, you know, that doesn't work for me. You know, he's like, stay in your own lane, Maslin. That's what he said. So there was just some things that we need to work out to, you know, how do we both come together on this? And we did, and we stayed committed, and it's just been fantastic.
Yeah. And I second, Mike is a super guy, very smart, very hard worker, and a good yin to your yang, a good, you know, complementary partner. So just about wrapping up, if you could go back to 19-year-old Allison, mm-hmm. and knowing what you know now, and 10 businesses and helped literally thousands of entrepreneurs and seen probably tens of thousands of business scenarios. So all that extensive knowledge, all that experience, if you could go back and give only one piece of advice to 19-year-old you, what would that look like?
Yeah, that's such a great question. Thanks for asking that. And I love mentoring young entrepreneurs too. So, you know, thank you for reminding me of that. You know, I think at that age, and, you know, it's changed so much over the years, but I thought that I needed to pick the one thing that I was going to do the rest of my life. And I really struggled with that. And I didn't have any self-esteem. I just didn't. And I felt all this pressure to figure out what that thing was. And I was so afraid. And I do believe in the schools, there's a lot of pressure on that. What are you going to be? Who are you going to be? Well, I didn't even know who the heck I was, you know? And so I think that I would say that I would tell myself, you can be many things in your life.
But oh, just, very good.
Just pick one, and then that one will evolve into the next, into the next, into the next.
Yeah, life is tricky. It's hard to see it all the way over 10, 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah. But you know what? It's so interesting. I don't know that that would have helped me at the time. I probably would have still felt the same level of anxiety. And I'm really grateful that it worked out the way that it did, because that was the wake-up call that I needed. And I don't know if I hadn't gone through those hard knocks in that those early days, if I would be doing as well as I am now.
Some of it's just the experience. I've thought about my answer to that question. And in all truthfulness, I don't know that my 20-year-old self would listen to anything my current day self has to say, because I knew everything. And
no way, Don, I wouldn't know that about you.
Yeah, I knew everything. And it took me about 30 years to figure out I don't really know anything. And I'm just trying to learn something new every day. And I think I'll time out before I have all knowledge, but I'm going to continue to learn everything before I time out. So maybe the toughest question, or last question. Okay. Most entrepreneurs struggle with this. The Proven Entrepreneur Clan, our tribe, if you could ask one thing of us to support you, what could we do for you?
Ah, you're such a go-giver, Don. I love that. Well, I would say, you know, I honestly, the biggest thing for me, nothing makes me happier than entrepreneurs getting out there and just doing their hustle, doing their thing. So that's really, at this point, I'm just here to pay it forward. So I hope that this interview just helps people to see, you know, through the good times and the bad, you hang on, and there's always that silver lining. There's always that next open door. So that's really, I would say, is just get clear on where you want to go and keep walking towards it every single day, and don't let anyone tell you it can't be done.
I love that. I think it was Babe Ruth who said, it's pretty hard to beat somebody who keeps getting up. And so just keep going. Yeah. Allison, I'm so grateful, and good to see you. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. And we'll do it again, and we'll talk deeper on a different subject.
I love it. This was awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Allison.
That's today's episode of The Proven Entrepreneur. Go to provenentrepreneurshow.com, subscribe to the show, leave an iTunes review, and you could win a $25,000 VIP day in Dallas with Don himself. And get Don's easier and faster selling with video course free. Please join Don on the next episode of The Proven Entrepreneur.